Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal judge in Pensacola, Florida, has ruled that the Pensacola cross needs to come down. This cross has been in place for decades. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, this judge, Roger Vinson, he is a Reagan appointee, and he was not in favor of having to reach the decision that he reached. He, in fact, criticized the U.S. Supreme Court for not being clear on the so-called First Amendment Establishment Clause cases. The Supreme Court has sometimes used one test, sometimes used another test, and on other occasions has used no test. It's unbelievable the mess that the United States Supreme Court has made of the so-called Establishment Clause, the section, Holly, of the First Amendment that says that there should be no establishment of religion. And the Supreme Court has literally made a mess of it. So lower court judges have a hard time finding out which way they should go. And Judge Roger Vinson actually lamented that here's this cross, and if we looked at it according to its original understanding and its historical purpose, it's constitutional. But if you look at it according to one of the tests that the Supreme Court has used, well, maybe it doesn't pass constitutional scrutiny. And so he ultimately sided that way. This case will go up on appeal. Now, Liberty Counsel has offered our services to the city of Pensacola to take this case and defend it on appeal.
You know, it just doesn't make sense to me, Matt, when he says that it must come down because it violates the Constitution. How on earth can he come up with that conclusion?
He, on the one hand, doesn't come up with that conclusion looking at it in the historical way. He says the historical record, this is from the judge, the historical record indicates that the Founding Fathers did not intend for the Establishment Clause to ban crosses and religious symbols from public property. Indeed, the enlightened patriots who framed the Constitution, this is the judge, would have most likely found this lawsuit absurd. This is from the judge. But then he goes on to say, but the Supreme Court has been all over the map, and they've used this test, and then that test, and then no test. And so one of the tests, if you use it, the so-called Lemon test, named from a case years ago called Lemon versus Kurtzman, if you use that particular test, well, maybe then it would not satisfy the Supreme Court's constitutional rulings. This cross now, Holly, has been standing in place for 76 years. 76 years. Over seven decades.
So it just sounds like he's allowing this Freedom From Religion Foundation and the American Humanist Association to bully him, a judge.
Well, you know, on the one hand, I think he didn't need to come to this conclusion. On the other hand, I appreciate the judge expressing dismay and disagreement with and pleading with the Supreme Court to clarify this area of law. I think there's a number of situations here. Number one, I don't think that the plaintiffs have standing. The problem that you have with these Establishment Clause cases is the Supreme Court also not only made a mess of the Establishment Clause, but the liberal activists back in the 60s that literally wanted to erase religion from the public square, they created an exception to what's called standing. Standing means that the plaintiff has a specific injury from that individual or that organization or the government that they're filing suit, that they've been injured by the defendant, and that their lawsuit can remedy that injury. Now, take it in the context of a personal injury. Somebody punches you. You've been injured by the defendant, so you file a civil suit because you've got medical damages and so forth, and therefore the medical damages result in money damages, so you have filed suit against the person who caused you injury, and the suit could ultimately help to remedy the financial damages that you sustain. That's pretty clear. But just because you don't like someone, that doesn't give you the right to sue them because you haven't been injured by the fact that you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty clear. Put it in the context of the Establishment Clause. The Establishment Clause, Supreme Court jurisprudence has allowed an exception to the rule. If you don't like something, even though you haven't had a direct injury, you can file suit. So someone drives through town and they see a cross on a water tower, or they drive through town and they see this cross that's there for 76 years, and they say it frightens them, it makes them feel like an outsider, blah, blah, blah. They don't have any proof that they have been treated as an outsider, and they say, well, now I'm going to try a different route to go to work because I don't like to see the cross. So I'm moving my route and I'm going on a different route to work. They file suit. Some courts would allow that in court. Under normal standing rules, you can't just simply file suit because you don't like something. But under the Supreme Court, they have made an exception for the Establishment Clause, throwing the door wide open. I think that they will revisit it. Some judges around the country have lamented that this is not consistent with other areas of law. So I think that the Supreme Court could revisit that. I think that there is a big standing issue in this case. But also, on the other hand, I think there is also a major constitutional issue. Back in 2005, the Supreme Court upheld a Ten Commandments monument that was about 6 feet tall, a couple of tons, in Texas. And the reason is they didn't use any test. They didn't use a historical test. They didn't use the Lemon test. They just simply said, it's been there for 40 years and no one's complained. Well, this one's been there for 76 years and no one's complained.
I know, you know, and I spoke to someone, they were going to have a prayer gathering there, and they were even willing to buy the land so it wouldn't be public property. But I don't think that really answers the whole issue. I mean, this cross has not been an issue for 76 years for residents. So why now would they allow these two atheist organizations to come along and kick it out?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, in this case, you had four plaintiffs in the case, two of whom now live in Canada, so they clearly don't have standing. One of whom used the site of the cross for a so-called satanic ritual. According to the judge, only one plaintiff may have standing, and his standing to sue is that he was, quote, personally offended, close quote, by the mere existence of the cross. Now, I think that the judge could have dismissed even that one plaintiff based on lack of standing. There's no injury,
right?
Because someone is personally offended.
Close your eyes, go a different route, you know?
Yeah, so I think that the judge could have clearly dismissed it based upon standing. No one has standing. But I also think that the underlying issue, you have the Supreme Court case in 2005. Again, they didn't use the historical Marsh test that looks at the history and meaning of the First Amendment. They didn't use the later Lemon test that looks at whether a reasonable observer, this amorphous observer, would think it's an establishment of religion. They used no test. They just simply said, it's been in existence for 40 years, and no one's complained, so therefore, it didn't establish a religion. In this case, this has been in place for 76 years, and no one's complained. How can it be an establishment of religion? How has it been there for over 7 decades, and no one has ultimately had any complaint against it?
Right.
And no one has been an outsider. No one has, because they support it or because they object to it, has been treated any differently in Pensacola.
And you know, Matt, this reminds me of some of the cases that we have around Christmas time with nativity scenes on public property, and the same kind of thing come along and say, no, it's offensive to have this. And so we have the opportunity to defend these different cities where these nativity scenes are trying to be taken away.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is like the nativity scene situation. And the Supreme Court in the past has clearly ruled that the nativity scenes are constitutional. Now, they did it in this so-called Lemon test, where as long as you have some kind of secular symbol of the holiday nearby, then it so-called dilutes the religion, and you don't have predominantly a religious purpose because you've got some secular symbols nearby.
Right.
On the other hand, the Ten Commandments case in 2005, it started off, I am the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it said at the very beginning before it actually gets to the Ten Commandments. And the Supreme Court upheld that because, again, it didn't use any test. The Supreme Court needs to clarify. It needs to go back to the original understanding of the case, which is an original intent. And I think we've got some justices, certainly Gorsuch on the Supreme Court and Thomas, that are advocates of that original intent. Keep watching the issues here. We have offered our services to Pensacola to take this case to the Court of Appeals and reverse this situation. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Look for our resources on our website. You can order one or all of our Patriot Handbook series.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel. The website again, lc.org.